Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Coulombe counties. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey of Senior Corps, retired and senior volunteer program, a part of OLECAP. Inspired by the words and spirit of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We highlight those organizations and individuals who provide time and a lot of energy to build what Dr. King called a beloved community. Today is our second conversation about the upcoming Jefferson County Fair on August 14th, 15th, and 16th. Last time we talked with Teresa and Virginia about the opportunities at the fair with the Home Arts and Horticulture buildings. And today we are talking with Lori Hampton, longtime volunteer and with 4-H, the fair, and is the secretary of the Fair Association. And joining us in our conversation are two young ladies, stellar young women, who are longtime cohorts and members of 4-H with Lori, Katie Bailey and Samantha Smith. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Lori, how did you get involved with the Jefferson County Fair? How did that happen?
I had someone invite me to a 4-H pre-fair cat show, and a couple of weeks before County Fair 21 years ago, and I stuck around to help with County Fair. That time, cats were in a corner of the 4-H building, and we stayed in that corner for a couple of years and expanded to a tent, the big tent that's out there now. The cats were in until 1999. That was our last year in the tent, and the year 2000, they gave us the building that we're in now. So my involvement was initially through 4-H. Our youth in Washington State who are old enough or who are interested in competing at State 4-H Fair in Puyallup either participate or qualify at a county fair. And so as a 4-H leader, my interest initially was to have a successful, good, fun place for my cat 4-H'ers to compete to go on to State 4-H Fair at Puyallup. And then I stayed for the camaraderie of the fair board and the adventure of learning to be creative and our annual theme. Our theme changes every year. And so it's become a combination of working with my club and working with the other members of the fair board.
And that is the classic story for volunteers. You tiptoe in with an interest. The cat brought you to the 4-H. Mm-hmm. 4-H brought you to the fair. And then you became secretary. When did that happen?
That happened probably about 2002, 2003, when I took over as secretary of the board. So,
and is it an all-year volunteer thing with the fair itself?
Yes, it is, in the sense that we are a working board. We are all volunteers. We have one part-time paid office person, but everything else on the fairgrounds is a responsibility of the fair board. We have a memorandum of agreement with the county. We are on county land, but we are not a county agency. We are not a county department, and we are not county funded. We are not a county park. We are responsible to maintain the fairgrounds, to handle everything that happens out there, including the fair. So in addition to the fair work that we do as volunteers, we are also involved with the two current fundraisers that the Fair Association does that are open to the public and active with the public, which is our early November holiday fair and then our March community garage sale. And those are fundraisers for the Fair Association. And both Katie and Sam have been involved in every aspect of everything that we do right at the fairgrounds.
And before we introduce Sam and Katie, just tell us a little bit about what you think the impact of 4-H is on the children and the families.
The impact is another outlet, another opportunity for our youth to explore avenues outside of school. We can have school 4-H, classroom 4-H in the classroom, but most of our 4-H'ers work through a traditional 4-H club, and there are over 100 curriculumed projects that they can become involved in as long as there are adults to lead them. We are the youth arm of Washington State University and then most directly out of our extension office.
And the families are involved quite a bit with 4-H. Is that not? It's not, if the children aren't on their own, the families sort of join in.
Yes, it's a very family-oriented. We are not. We do have an after-school program down in Quilsing that's been very successful for a long, long time that has huge participation, and the kids are able to come right after school. But for those of us doing traditional clubs, The families are involved. The kids are involved. The older they get, the more independent our 4-H'ers become. And so they do indeed come on their own. But for our little kids, my project is open to children as young as kindergarten.
The cats.
And so the parents come.
Let's introduce these two young women. Let's start with Sam.
Okay, so I would like to introduce Sam Smith. Sam has been in my club since she was in kindergarten, so about 12 years now. And Sam has been very, very active in many different aspects of 4-H, both the CAP project, which is what our club does, and teen leadership opportunities. Sam just returned from Washington State 4-H Teen Conference in Pullman and is a teen advisor on the Washington State 4-H Advisory Board. She is my club president and this year co-president, actually, and happens to be the reigning Rhododendron Festival queen.
Welcome, Sam. Your
Glad
Highness.
To be here.
So what's your first memory of the Jefferson County Fair?
Well, I remember showing at the fair. So I guess, according to my mom, we went from Utah, where I was being groomed to be a horse and cow 4-H'er, to Washington, where we could not own horses and cows, and she didn't know what I was going to do, but we went to fair, and she met Lori at the CAP building, which I don't really remember. And the next year, I was showing at the county fair with my kitty, and I remember fitting and showing, and there's a standing block that the short people who can't see over a table get to stand on. And I got to decorate my first cage, and starting at a very young age, public speaking and herdsmanship, which is talking to the public, whether they want you to talk to them or not. And, I mean, we started volunteering me when I was about 5. So I started my volunteering.
That's a long resume.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about the fair?
Well, my favorite part about, I have to clarify, my favorite part about the county fair or about the fair association and its events?
The fair event, the fair that's coming up in August.
Okay, so the county fair.
Yeah.
So my favorite part about the county fair has actually become my public presentation, which is a requirement if you would like to get a year-end pin in 4-H. And what you have to do is you go up and you give a judged public speech. And the older you get, the longer it's required to be. So for me and Katie, at the age we're at now, we have to have a 5 to 8 minute discussion, speech, how-to presentation. And it's judged. And if you get a blue ribbon, you go to state fair. And because of 4-H, I've really come to love public speaking. And so I've gotten more intricate with my presentations. I've started making them more science-based, and I look forward to it now every year.
That's great. And what kind of cat do you have?
I show a Siamese mix. Very small, very grouchy.
Does not like the fair, huh? Would you like to introduce Katie Bailey?
So we have Katie Bailey here, and she is a sports fanatic, and somehow with all of her sports, she manages to do 4-H, and I believe this year she is our vice president, one of our co-vice presidents, and we're glad she was here today. She had to leave a volleyball practice to be here.
Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
With all of your sports, how do you find time for 4-H and why?
You know, I've been in this club for 8 years now, and I just really enjoy it, so I make time to come. Like Sam had said, I had just come from a volleyball. It's actually softball. It's okay. I came from a softball practice to be here. I enjoy it, and I make time to come.
And are you a cat person as well?
Yes, I am a cat person.
And what is your cat? Tell me about your kitty.
My cat is a calico. She's a household pet long hair, and she actually has 3 legs.
Oh. Was she born with 3 legs, or is that...
There was an accident a couple years ago that we had to amputate her leg.
Mm. So what was the first year you showed your cat?
The first year I showed my cat, I think I was in third grade.
So it's been a long thing.
It's been a very long thing.
So you are both, you know, remarkable young women. I wish I had your energy and your focus at that age. I didn't, so congratulations on that. What do you think the importance of 4-H is for young people, and how do you think it affects you as an older person? How is this going to help you as an older person find your way?
So 4-H is really big on what we call the 4-H's, so head, heart, hands, and health. And so from a young age, if you join 4-H younger, or from an older age, depending on when you join, you are learning how to make the best better, how to help the people around you, how to improve your own life, and you're doing it in a structured environment where they base it off of several principles, those four and four specifically, and you're working to make the best better, which is our motto. It's just a really good way to have a structured learning and growing environment, and it's a safe place to go. And as you get older, you've learned public speaking skills, you've learned customer service skills, you've learned how to take pride in the work you've done. We learn record-keeping skills. A lot of clubs, especially now in Washington State, are mandated to have actual club officers and learn Robert's Rules of Order, learn parliamentary procedure. You learn all these things, and when you're younger, it's about your project. And then as you get older, you can do teen projects like the Know Your Government program, which is a statewide conference in February, which I was a facilitator for last year, so I helped plan that. And by the time you're in ninth grade, you can actually go to a conference, and somebody will really teach you how the government works in a very interactive way. You go to a courthouse, and you are a lawyer. You are a lobbyist on the floor. You are this, you are that. And it's a really good interactive way to learn things that isn't through school, but is also still has the structure.
Right. So, Katie, what does it take to get to the fair? And what is the year like? Do you do things all year to make this happen?
Yes, you do things all year. For us in the cat club, we do shows periodically through the year. So we go and show our cat. And then closer leading up to the fair, we do a lot of work getting the building ready. So like right now we're making decorations for our overhead, and we've just taken them down from last year, and we're creating more to go with the theme. It also takes a lot of time at home to get ready. So you're making your personal decorations, you're creating your public presentation, you're getting your animal ready, you're just doing a lot of things.
And what does it mean to get the cat ready?
To get the cat ready, it's pretty simple. It's mainly a night before show thing. You groom your cat, you sometimes bathe it, which they really don't like. You clip their claws, you just get them ready.
But the cat stays a normal cat most of the year, just
yes.
When it's time to
yes.
show, then
it's not like a cow or something where you go train them to do whatever routine.
Training a cat, no.
You can't train a cat.
You also, as 4-H cats, all of ours have to be vaccinated, and we have to make sure that's done around at least a week before fair. And to even show at fair, you have to have certain vaccinations.
Right.
It's also a good idea to have flea drops.
Yeah, flea drop your cats, clip their claws.
Clip their claws.
All the fun stuff.
All the fun. So, Lori, what kind of volunteer opportunities are available for our listeners at the fair?
Well, for the fair specifically, we would appreciate volunteers who might contact us and say, whatever you need help with, I'm there for you. Everywhere from that to somebody who might say, I can paint, or I don't mind climbing a ladder to hang decorations, or very specifically, I love that floral department and I would like to step up and help the floral department make sure that their entries are available. Year round, we do care on the fairgrounds. We do our fundraisers that I mentioned before, the holiday fair and the community garage sale. So they're really volunteer opportunities that can be very general and vague to very specific to the strengths and interests of the volunteer.
Right. So when you say help put up decorations, when does that happen for the August 14th, 15th, and 16th? Is there a certain day that happens?
Every department's a little bit different.
Okay.
Some of the departments that show at fair are in buildings that are actually part of our income stream for the Fair Association. Buildings can be rented for events and family reunions and weddings or wedding receptions. And so those buildings, they set up a little bit closer to the actual dates of the fair. And then for departments like mine in our building with the CAP building, we have a little more leeway. Our building isn't used for anything but the community garage sale. And so we have a little more time ahead of time. So if a person was interested in helping a specific department to decorate, they could say, I would like to help the Home Arts to decorate or set up, and they would be put in contact with the superintendent for the Home Arts Department and given the dates. Otherwise, they could say, I'd like to decorate, but I'm available 2 weeks before fair, and within the Fair Association, we would look at who's decorating about that time and contact them for their time frame.
So how do we get a hold of you?
The best thing to do is to call the fair office. There's usually someone in there from about 9:30 to 2 in the afternoon, except this time of year when she sometimes is there 7 days a week. 10 hours a day, but the number is 385-1013, and give the fairgrounds a phone call. And if there isn't somebody there, please leave a message and let us know what you're interested in. Be as specific as you want if you're general and you're interested in volunteering, and we will get back to you.
So let's just reflect for a moment before we leave. You've all volunteered. You are living in a community that's full of volunteers. What is your reflection, Katie? I'm looking right at you here. So what's your reflection on looking around, seeing adults who volunteer like this as much as they do? What's your observation about that?
I just think it's really nice that adults would sacrifice their time, their free time, to come out and volunteer at the fair and just help make our community a better place. And I just think it's great.
Sam, you've been around a lot of volunteers coming and going. What's in it for youth? Why should youth volunteer?
So for things like fair, for our fair association fundraisers, like the holiday fair, my younger sister and I spend from very early in the morning to late in the evening in the fair restaurant, helping the one adult that works there. And between two or three of us, there's somebody who has to run the cash register, coffee runs, make the food, prepare the food, clean up, set up. All kinds of things. And so for us, volunteering at a place like that is teaching us skills that we'd get somewhere, say a job, but we're also learning how to volunteer and help other people. And places like the fair give us all sorts of opportunities to volunteer and help others. And at the same time, it helps us because we're learning about others and about service. And so I think what we've gotten out of it is kind of like a feeling of responsibility and a feeling of kind of ownership over the work we do. So when we do roadie things at the fairgrounds, they're always like, "Do you feel like do you feel like this is your space?" Yes, I feel like this is my space. I've worked here.
So what I'm hearing is a sense of belonging that when you work with the fair or the 4-H, you belong there. It's a tribe, or it's a family in a sense, right? Is that the sort of feeling you had about it? Anything else you'd like to add besides come on down to the fair?
If you really like the horticulture, the agriculture, and the floral department, which is the building next to the cows where you have all the pretty flowers and vegetables, or you like to enter into that department, we need a superintendent or we're not going to have it. Which is a great, all of our superintendents are volunteers, like Lori here is a cat superintendent, and what the superintendent does is they help set up the building. They maintain the structure, and that they're the ones that take the entries and set up the classes and all that. So we would really love to keep up the agriculture, especially in a community with so much gardening and homegrown food. It would be amazing if somebody who was interested in that in the community would volunteer to be a superintendent for our floral ag horticulture department.
And who would they call?
They would call the fairgrounds, which I believe is 385-1013, and they would talk to probably Sue McIntyre, who is our fair board president.
Anything else you want to say before we go? Lori?
Come to the fair. If you haven't been to the fair before, we definitely invite you to come. If you've not volunteered before, please come and see what it's all about and where you might like to volunteer after this fair. But please be a fair goer. We put on this big party every year. We start planning in October and comes together in August, and we do this for our community, and we hope everybody will come. And it's a way to support us. Come and support the fair and the tradition of the fair and see what we're all about.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend, Washington. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey. Our production coordinator and editor of this broadcast is Mike Schlitzer. I'd like to thank our station manager, Nora Petridge, and programming manager, Larry Stein. And I'd like to particularly thank all the volunteers who work many hours every week to bring you eclectic music and insightful conversations at KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend, Washington. You're ready.